Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Please take a seat. Boy, it's great to be here. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed this morning. I enjoyed last night too, didn't you? Did you enjoy last night? Who enjoyed last night? Sort of like, who had a blast last night? I did too. Man, it was great. Well, Lord, we just pray it'll be just God, you speak to us. Amen? Who's expecting God to speak to them in some way today, you know? And I'm expecting God to speak to different folks. Christine and Graham Shirley, they are folks in our church. They are a family in our church, been a family in our church for a long time. And Christine Shirley, her dad was a minister, and he passed away a number of years ago. And at his funeral, she spoke, and Christine stood up, and she said, and I still remember it today, and she said, "My dad's love for Jesus and his words spoiled him for the ordinary. My dad's love for Jesus and his word spoiled him for the ordinary. I've found when Jesus comes into our life, he spoils you. There's something that goes on inside our hearts and our heads that he messes us up for the ordinary. Just to settle for the ordinary. The grass is greener, the sky's bluer, the mountains are magnificent anyway. I mean, you go down south, and I spent a lot of time in the Southern Alps, and I just love the mountains. But when I became a Christian, when I asked Christ to come into my life, and that resurrection power flowing through me, when I began to see the mountains, then my goodness, praise and worship went up just spontaneously. God's creation, he pushes you to new challenges. He really does. He seems to push us to new challenges. And vision seems to get stretched. Does anybody sort of pick that up? Our vision seems to be stretched. When we're singing like last night or this morning, our vision seems to sort of like go to another level. It's like that all things are possible. The things that aren't possible are possible at that moment. We get out of here, and sometimes it's a little different, but when we're in the atmosphere, right, and that sort of like those impossibilities, those crises, those things that take place, well, they're possible right in that atmosphere. And that's good. That's God. That's God doing something in our hearts and in our lives, and he seems to push us, and he seems to say, you can do it. He seems to say, you can do it. Amen? And dreams tend to get larger. We're having a bit of problem there, okay. Oh, good, yeah, we've got to switch it on. There you go. Talk about technically challenged. You're looking at him. Dreams tend to get larger. The world seems to get bigger. And there seems to be nations even call. They're calling. They're calling. You know, God calls, and there are some here that God is calling to nations, to the nations of the world. He's calling. It's his call. And you think, why can't I get that nation off my heart? Or why can't I get that place off my mind? Because God is stretching. God puts a dream in our hearts and in our lives. He really does. And sometimes I say, why, Lord? If you really want to hear my heart, like I'm honest, I'm just saying, Lord, why can't I just live an ordinary life, just for a day or two or a week or two? Just be nice sometimes. Because there are mountains to climb. There are leadership mountains to climb. There are family challenges. And God asks, because he lives within us, for you and I to respond in an extraordinary way. In a way of faith, in a way that climbs those mountains and gets through them, doesn't just hinder us. Because we all have mountains to climb. We all have difficulties to go through. We all have crises. If you haven't had one in your life, I'd like to see you afterwards, please. And if you haven't had one, you probably will sometime. And what are you going to do in that crisis? What are you going to do when that impossibility hits you? Growing up in Christchurch, my dad was a greengrocer, and he converted an old school bus into a mobile shop. It had fruit and veggies, had a freezer with ice creams in it. We knew where that was. And subsequently, there were plenty of boxes, like, you know, apple boxes and banana boxes. And I remember being a 5-6-year-old kid, you know, made a racetrack on our back lawn in Christchurch,
with timber, and then we sat in apple boxes on it, and they became racing cars. I tell you, Formula One had no chance against these apple boxes, because they weren't apple boxes, understand? They were racing cars. And my goodness, you could go around corners like real fast, like 50 kilometers an hour, like it was fast, you know, 90 degrees, and turn back the other way. Like they were amazing, the gear shifts on them. Couldn't see them, but they were. They were fast, I tell you. We imagine as kids. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question here today. What's your apple box? What's your apple box? But when we grow into adulthood, for some reason, for many reasons, we put our imagination or our dreaming on hold. And sometimes we feel it's childish. Friends, it's not childish, it's childlike. And in Matthew 18, 1-4, says this, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child and had him stand amongst them, just right in the middle. Must have been scary for that kid. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, unless you change and become like little children, unless you change and become, are you hearing that? Like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You never enter into the kingdom of God. You never enter into everything that God has for us unless you become like a little child. Therefore, whoever humbles themselves like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. C.S. Lewis's story, which is on movie right now, Prince Caspian. Anybody seen it here? At the end of the movie, there are hundreds, if not thousands. It looks like thousands, but I think it's hundreds of men. They're in the army, and they're heavily armed, and they've got armor on, and they're marching towards a huge bridge crossing a large river right at the end. You remember that part? And the battle seems to be going against this little like ragtag team of youngsters. So they come to the bridge and they begin marching across the bridge. It's a huge bridge over a huge river. And Lucy is standing on the other side. She's the youngest. She's the youngest of all the kids. She's about 11 or 12, somewhere around there. She's the youngest. Actually, she's the only one who sees Aslan. That's interesting. Because she's the youngest, you see. Childlike faith. And heavily armed, the army marches across towards Lucy, this girl, standing there. So she pulls out, and all the guys are coming, you know, with their swords, like, you know, their shields and their armor on. She pulls out a 15-centimeter sword. Zip. In fact, the whole theater laughs. And it was like there was a laugh going through the army as well, but the whole theater we were in that night just laughed. And you think, oh my goodness, all you saw is Lucy in this 15-centimeter sword against all these armies. You think, oh no. But then the camera pans around and you begin to see Aslan, the lion, the type of Christ, standing beside Lucy. You can start to get a little excited now. And Aslan, what does he do? He just stands there and he roars. He just gives this huge roar, you know. And the bridge turns to matchsticks and the water engulfs the army and is absolutely defeated. In fact, it's annihilated with a roar from Aslan. Woo-hoo-hoo! Lucy and her 15-centimeter sword and Aslan can defeat an army. That's one of the greatest theological thinkers of the 20th century using his imagination. So much so that the movie producers and directors can put it on the big screen decades later after his death. It's so clear. And when you read this or see this story, you begin to realize God is big. And he's absolutely for you and I. And when you read it again, you also it's also a challenge to how childlike we must be. How childlike we must be. Let me ask you a question. Where does your imagination go? Where does it go to when you're confronted with difficulty, struggle, problems, crisis, challenge? Where does our imagination go when we think of God and His largeness? For many Christians are full of information about God, even trained to obey God, but without an imagination capturing them or enraptured by God, they're powerless to live the life that He has called us indeed to. Some Christians simply cannot imagine living any differently than the culture around them. And the power of imagining did not originate with mankind. It's a God word. It's part of the very nature of God. What's the first thing that the Bible tells us about God? What did He do in the beginning? He made everything, and everything that God made, He saw first. All that was invisible was in the heart of God before it ever became visible for man to enjoy. God could see it all in the beginning. He looked at emptiness and saw plants and animals and planets and mankind. He saw them and He made them into reality. Whole forests just into place. Not one at a time. Why not just mountains? In First Kings 3:5 talks about Solomon, and that Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Ask whatever you, imagine that. Imagine God coming to you and asking you, just saying, whatever you want, I'm going to give to you. What do you want? Imagine God saying to you this, ask what I should give you and I'll do it. Doesn't take too much imagining before we read what happened. God did what He asked for. Allow your mind to be expanded. Allow your spirit to take hold of what I'm going to speak about and let it percolate, let it muse on it. Chew over it in faith. Because this isn't some obscure event that happened to Solomon, only to Solomon. Matthew 20, verse 22. And all things you ask for in prayer, believing, you might receive. Is that right? No, doesn't say that. And all things you ask for in prayer, believing, oh, it may happen. No. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You will receive. John 14, 12 to 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going back to the Father. And I will do whatever you... It's like He says it again. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. It's like God saying, come on. I want you to ask. Come on, I'm pushing you. Come on, I want you to dream. Come on, I want you to envision. Come on, I want you to imagine. It's like He's saying that, like right throughout Scripture. John 15, 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit, and that fruit's going to last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow, there it goes again. John 16. Sorry, let's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. I'm just picking out a few. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. We heard that last night. What God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. I don't know if you've heard this one. God is that, come on, say it with me. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask, think, or imagine. For goodness sake, God. How come you put those scriptures in there? Are they just a cruel teaser? No, God isn't like that at all. It's like He's saying, come on, I want you to dream. I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine. What do you want from God? What are you purposing in God to bring glory to Him? Ask for it. Ask for it. Wow. Even a casual reading of the Sermon on the Mount reveals that the imagination plays a central role. Jesus shows us like sins like anger or pride or greed or lust germinate in the spiritual soil of one's imagination. With our significant recultivation and sanctification of the imagination led by God's Spirit, a disciple will be incapable of weeding out sin and living obediently. Oswald Chambers, in our PowerPoint up the back here, knew that if our imagination of God is starved, then when you come up against difficulties, you have no power. You only endure in darkness. If your imagination of God is starved, that's why this theme of the conference. And when you come up against difficulties, if your imagination is starved, you have no power. You can only endure in darkness. See, when we read about the picnic, you know, I can just imagine a grandson or a great-grandson. Let's go for a grandson. And he says, did you hear about my granddad? No. He went to a picnic one day. Oh, I think I've heard that story. Can you tell us again? Yeah, my granddad tells it every opportunity he gets. We just think about a picnic, and he's telling the family again what happened. Because he was a little boy once, and he had a little lunch, and there was like five loaves and two fish, and one of the disciples, they came and grabbed them out of the crowd, and they brought him to this man called Jesus, and he had these loaves and these fish, and he says, I didn't want to give up my lunch. I mean, it was like it was just getting to the smelly stage. It was just getting ripe. It was just getting ripe, and it was just like a little boy's lunch. I mean, it's a miracle to get a little boy's lunch. And so I gave him my lunch. And guess what happened? He fed thousands of people. I saw it with my own eyes. In fact, there were 12 basketfuls left over. I've often wondered, he would probably say, Granddad, often wondered what sort of like, what? Why are the 12 basketfuls? Well, it could be the 12 disciples. Imagine if there were 100 disciples, could be 100 basketfuls left over. Who knows? I don't know. Why did God leave 12 basketfuls left over? It's like this extravagant God. See, we just read that. We can just read that through, you know, year after year. And they're just words like black ink on a white page. Imagine yourself in it right now. Imagine that little boy growing up. Imagine him having a family. Imagine him telling his kids. Imagine him telling his grandkids and the great-grandchildren hearing that story. He's got his story. Have you got yours? What about Lazarus? Like Lazarus is in the... He's asleep, and they said, no, and Mary's like getting, like all, Martha's getting all upset. Yeah, I know, you're the resurrection, I'm the resurrection of life. Jesus said, no, we know that you're the resurrection of life. We know that you're going to come one day, you know. Well, and then he goes to see Lazarus, and we're sort of there now. Let me have a look at John, have a look at John chapter, somewhere around chapter 11, here we go. And Jesus is deeply moved. He comes to the church. He's been weeping. He's been crying. There's been this discussion. Is he really loves him, you know, and all that sort of stuff. There's a high emotional impact there in the cave with a stone. It was in a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, he said, there's going to be an odor there. It's going to stink. For goodness sake, he's been in there 4 days. I didn't have embalming stuff then. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? It's like he's saying to Martha, can you just dream a little bit? Can you just imagine this man coming out of this cave? And Martha just couldn't get her head around that. So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing right here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And just imagine Lazarus coming out. Like, here's this guy, he's coming out of a, it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder, and you just begin to imagine, you wonder if he's going into the cave or what's going to happen there, wonder what the smell was like, you know, and here comes Lazarus coming out, you know, just like in a, he can just see little eyes perhaps, maybe he can't see anything, but he's coming out, and like, and Jesus has to tell the disciples, can you untie him and let him go? They were so shocked. Well, you would be too. I would be too, wouldn't you? See, when we're confronted with a problem, when we read that story, we think the resurrected Christ can meet that need. The one who can take away death, who's defeated death, can touch my need. See, we need to get and dwell. Just indwell the text. In the second PowerPoint here, imagination has been a dirty word for too long. Kevin von Hosse says, great Dutchman. The imagination enables us to see the parts of the Bible as forming a meaningful whole. But we can go further still. The imagination also enables us to see our lives as part of that same meaningful whole. This is absolutely crucial. We need today, what we need today is the ability to indwell or inhabit the text. Amen. God has put in every individual in this room the power of imagining, which gives birth to vision. Without imagining, you cannot see the potential in front of you. Without imagining, you only look at the things that are there. But when you begin to imagine what God might do, you begin to see beyond. See, God calls us to another realm. It's called the faith realm. He does. He calls us not to only go there, he calls us to live there. And I want to motivate you to ask. I can't promise what answer you'll receive. I can't dictate. Of course, I can't dictate to God how big your dreams should be. I can't dictate to the invisible kingdom of God anything about your life. That's between you and God. But there is one thing I can do. I can ask you this morning. I can ask you to ask big. I can ask you to take the lid off your imagination and take a risk. Take a chance, not just once, but just over the whole few days that we're together. And let your mind be expanded. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. Have a mind shift this weekend. Take a chance. Move into the realm of imagining, the realm of faith. Move into the realm of miracles, the realm of the supernatural. I think I know what the theme of the conference is next year. Oh, I better ask the pastor. Sorry. I asked him last night. I thought I was going to announce it. I'm under submission now. He's the pastor coming here. So he said, great. Supernatural. I reckon that would be a great theme, just to focus on supernatural and continue this thing of imagining and the supernatural God. See? Move into the realm of miracles. Move around the supernatural. As long as you live in the realm of the natural, the realm of the rational reasoning, you'll never begin to dream. That's why I said last night, and it's on the PowerPoint, I have an absolute conviction that the unseen realm, how about we say that together? I have an absolute conviction that the unseen realm, and it's the seen realm, and that our lives are to be evidences of the invisible. And for this to be activated, God has given us an imagination. He's given you and I an imagination. Albert Einstein, and in the PowerPoint, Albert's quite a clever bloke, and he said this, imagination is more important, he said, than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination embraces all there ever will be to know and understand. That's interesting. He's quite a clever bloke, I understand. Here are some thoughts. You've probably got your thoughts, but here are my thoughts. Number one, we just got it on the screens behind us. Number one, imagining is to receive the dreams God has for you. We read the scripture about Solomon. Ask whatever you want. See, ask God, what dreams do you have for me, Lord? What do you want from my... And listen, this is a good atmosphere to ask that in. This is a good place to ask that in over these next few days. And write it down. Don't just let it flood away somewhere. Maybe you have some dreams. Maybe you've laid them before God and ask if these are His dreams or yours, or your thoughts, His thoughts are yours. Be willing to give up your dreams, your thoughts, and take up His dreams or thoughts, because they are greater than ours. As Pastor Dr. Don said last night, who would have planned the life that I'm living now? And I can honestly say, who would have planned the life that we're living now? As many of you know, I had a career, or some of you know, I had a career in music, singing 30 years ago. Like, eat your heart out, Elvis, here we came. Elvis Presley was a famous guy years ago, yeah. And I came to a defining moment, and I prayed, Lord, I want your dream for my life. I really do. And I never would have dreamt this up on my own, the way that life has been over the last 3 decades. And I tell you what, it's much better than the life that I had before. Number two, imagining is to see the future without limitations. Everybody say, without limitations. Come on. Imagine, let's all read it together. Imagining is to see the future without limitations or restrictions. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Wow. God has a future for you that nobody else has ever had. It will necessitate miracles. It will necessitate revelation. It will necessitate you breaking through and persevering through impossibilities. It will necessitate you breaking through if you're going to have a future that will impact generations. For me, it means imagining what God wants for this place. A church planting in Europe. What God wants to do as I fly over the cake tin in Wellington, the stadium. It's only 35,000 people it can hold in there. I wonder what God wants to do there. I imagine praise and worship in that place. I imagine that place full. I imagine our stadium full of people. I just imagine that. Listen, one day halls and buildings are not going to be large enough to do what God wants to do. For people who own businesses, if you were to imagine without limitations God thoughts about your business. People and families, if you were to imagine without limitations God thoughts about your family or your church, and begin to pray towards that, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen. The problem is with our instant society, we want it to happen tomorrow. We sow a seed, friends, we sow a seed today, it produces fruit, sometimes 6, 12, 10, 15, 20 months or 20 years from now. Begin to sow the seed this weekend, why not? Come on, begin to sow the idea to. Begin to sow the seed. Begin to ask God. Put it down on a book somewhere. Write it down. I'm believing for some things this weekend, and they're just not going to happen overnight, but I put it down. I write it there, and I'm praying through that. It confronts me when I open my eyes, and I see it there, and I thank you, Lord. We're believing for that. And I tell you what, if it doesn't happen this weekend, it's going to happen next weekend. If it doesn't happen the weekend after, it's going to happen next month. If it's not going to happen next month, it's going to happen sometime. It's going to happen sometime. Keep believing. I dare you to. In our instant society, we sometimes give up, I reckon, a little too soon. Number three, imagining is the Holy Spirit opening our hearts and revealing His secrets. 1 Corinthians 2, God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Ephesians 1, 17, I keep asking, and Paul's praying this for the church, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. that you might know him better. There are things inside of us that we're not aware of, things the Holy Spirit has placed in you and I. There are treasures, there are dreams that the Holy Spirit is going to dig out and reveal and bring to the surface in our lives. Allow him to start that process this weekend. Why not? I didn't realize it, but I was made aware that I love abstract art. I always thought I was quite an ordered bloke, but I'm not really. And don't laugh so loud, Dave Moore, just like your jolly daughter. And that's pretty good, really. I love abstract art. And I discovered that about 45 years old, 46, fires me up. It excites me. It enlivens me. So two or three years ago, I did an art course going to paint and did it. And like 4 hours is like 4 minutes. Does anybody have a hobby sort of like that? Like, there's just, like, you haven't even got time to go to the loo. Karen, she says, what? Can you go to the loo for me? I haven't got time. I just love it. We've got some abstract art in different places, and I just love it. It just fires me up. Other people go, what are you looking at? What is that? I don't know. Whatever you want it to be. I never knew that was inside of me. Friends, I wonder what churches you and I have inside of us, or what answers we have for this world or for the people in this world. I wonder what answers we have for this world and is yet inside, and the Holy Spirit wants to reveal that to us. Number four, imagining is to believe what was impossible in the past is now possible. Mark 9:23, if you can, said Jesus. How about we read it together? If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible. Let's say that again. Come on. Everything is possible for him who believes. Come on, everybody in the room now. Everything is possible for him who believes. People said it was impossible to fly 110 years ago. The Wright brothers proved the world wrong. It was impossible, people said, to stop a train, a huge train with air. Westinghouse proved the world wrong. We have the Westinghouse air brakes. The 4-minute mile is impossible, people said, for human beings. In fact, top physicians said that our lungs were simply not large enough or big enough. Roger Bannister proved the world wrong. And since that time, thousands of people have run the 4-minute mile. We have one or two even in this church. Couldn't be done, they said. We had reel-to-reel tape for years. How many remembers that? Three or four. Reel-to-reel tape. Yeah, Caleb Drivers going, yeah. Then we had this fantastic new invention. It was a tape about this size. A little wee tape. How cool is that? Does anybody remember that? And it came on the market, and I remember getting a little cassette player. It was one of the first one out, and many of us thought this would last forever. I remember having a cassette player like that, and then hearing about this new invention about this sort of like disc, and it was a laser on the disc, and like the laser spun around, and the disc wasn't even touched, but the laser touched it, and the music came out. Oh, how cool is that? Oh, that'll be years. And how now it is. The CD are now in. And now, not only that, I don't have a lot of CDs. In fact, I don't buy CDs anymore because I put them straight into an iPod. I can carry that little iPod wherever I am, all around the world, in my top pocket with my whole CD collection and my video collection as well, and still have room for photographs and everything else. Wow, I wonder what sicknesses are yet to be healed. I wonder what sicknesses are yet to be healed in this room. I wonder what sicknesses are yet to be healed, and we need to say to one another, be healed. Get up and walk. Come on. Imagining is to believe that what was impossible in the past is now possible. I wonder what You're saying is impossible, but God is wanting to break through and say, it's possible. Come on, it's possible. It's possible to reach your community. It's possible to touch that village. It's possible to touch the nation. It's possible. Yes, it is. It's possible. Might not happen this year, but you keep on to it, and you keep on to it, and you keep on to it. It'll happen. It will happen, believe you me. I've lived long enough to see it happen. The last year in our church alone, we have seen a church planted every 16 hours overseas. Every 16 hours. I didn't know that was the case till the guys gave me the stats. And I said, are you sure? Go back and redo the sums. They said, we're sure. I thought at least one a week or something. That'd be 52. That'd be pretty cool, eh? But it's one every 16 hours. Over 300 new churches. Friends, that's possible. That was impossible. It's possible. Some of those are small churches, small groups, and many of them, though, are unreached people groups, totally unreached, never heard the gospel before, don't even have a Bible. And now there are thousands of them that know Christ as Lord and Savior. Not only know Christ as Lord and Savior, but they're in a church, being discipled. And Grant's had a huge hand in that. Apostle to China, how cool is that? You're going to hear from him tomorrow. Seems impossible, but it's possible. Wow. Number five, imagining is to lift the lid of your mind and resist old assumptions. Colossians 3:1-3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What an incredible scripture. Imagine just living in that one for a moment. Let's read it together. Since then you have been... Come on, everybody, from the back row to the front to the side. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Imagining means thinking His thoughts. Friends, the greatest war is not the First World War or the Second World War or the many wars that are being fought here and there around the earth right now. The greatest battle is being fought in our minds. That's why we need to get together at times like this and just challenge our thinking and challenge our mindsets and have a shift in our mindset. Philippians 4:8, finally, what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. What does it say? Think. Everybody say, think. How many times do we think of those things that are depressing, that are not right, and we start to spiral downwards on not the purposes of God? Think about such things as praiseworthy, excellent, admirable, lovely, pure, right, noble, true. A New Century Version in Romans 12:1-2, it says, oh, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. 2 Peter 3:1, he says this and to the church that he was writing to, and Peter says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them. He says this, I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. He wants to stimulate us to wholesome thinking. Thinking that's praiseworthy, thinking that's good, thinking that's noble, thinking that's excellent, thinking that's true. How many times do we think of things that are not true? Not true about our God, not true about others, and we think about those things and they take us downwards, not upwards. Your mind is made by God, given by God to think God thoughts. That's what your mind has been given for, to think God thoughts. Number six, imagining is to let go of lesser ambitions. Philippians 3, 13, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it. Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to what is ahead. I strain forward to what is ahead. Billy Graham was asked a few times over the years, would he ever run for president? He knew all the presidents in the last number of decades. And he said, no, I wouldn't lower myself to what God doesn't want me to do. I wouldn't lower myself to what God doesn't want me to do. God had given him a dream. Praise God, he kept imagining. Amen. And the last one here, and the musicians, if they could come back, that'd be great. Imagining is to make a faith declaration of what you see. Friends, this is powerful. Romans 4, 17, as it is written, I made you the father, Abraham, of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. And the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Proverbs 18, 21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose. Friends, we have to choose with our words what we are going to do with our words. Bring out your thoughts. Bring out your imaginings with your words. Don't just leave them as thoughts. Don't just leave your imaginings there. Bring them out with thoughts. Words have power. They have power to kill a dream, or they have power to give life to a dream. They do. Words are containers. They carry fear or they carry faith. What are you going to do with your words to your kids? Oh, yeah, you're a champ. They had me on about that the other day. They all have a wee giggle about that now because sometimes it still slips out. You're a champ. I said, Dad, I'm a young man now. Okay, you're a young man champ. They just shake their head. But they get the story. Little Elijah, I pray over him because he's not doing too good. So I pray over him. What words am I going to use right now? What imaginings am I going to go to right now in God? I tell you what, I'm going to, and I choose to do this. I'm going to healing. I'm going to health. I'm going to wholeness. I see that little boy. Let me tell you something. I see that little boy playing soccer with me, playing with a ball, soccer. Sorry, rugby guys, but I'm playing with soccer because he's a kid. You got to be gentle with a little kid. And he's just a little kid, and I'm seeing on the back lawn, and I'm playing soccer with him, getting that ball off him. He's giggling away. I see that right now. I see him running up and down in my church, but also in his other granddad's church, running up and down the aisle, making a racket. Being the Dutchman he needs to be. Making a mark on this world in more ways than one. See, I have to choose to do that. What do you have to choose to do? What do you need to do? What are your words going to bring out? It doesn't always work for me. Sometimes I'm such a negative person, and I've had to change that. Words declare and call out our God thoughts and call our imaginations to pass. Please, don't leave them in your thoughts. Don't leave them in your heart. Don't leave those dreams, those imaginations, just as imaginations. Write them down, declare them. What does it say in Job chapter 22, verse 28? Decree a thing and it shall be established to you. That's the power of words. Don't stop at getting a thought. Write it down and confess it and declare it. Abraham, the father of nations, to Abraham. God changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. And every time he called himself that or others called him, he was declaring his future, and they were declaring his future over them. The father of a multitude, many nations. You think that's just by accident? Oh, I just want to give you a name. It's a bit of an easier name to say than Abraham. Just call it Abraham. No, it's a father of many nations. He wanted that. His body, the Bible says, was as good as dead. See, we when there's a mountain there, we don't just go, we can speak to the mountain, speak to it, declare it. We don't deny it's there. Some Christians deny these things. Some Christians deny, and they just go to the place of praise and worship, just deny that. No, no, you need to speak to the mountain, and it says, be removed. It says to the darkness became night. The darkness can go on and on and on. If you've got a darkness issue in your life that goes on and on and on, friends, call the darkness night, because night finishes. Night finishes and it becomes morning. There was the darkness in Genesis chapter 1, and he called the darkness night. He spoke a word to it, and it ended at that point. Words are powerful. He knew his body was as good as dead, but he could keep declaring, and he did this while he was still childless. In faith, he declared every day the reality of something he could not see, the Father of many nations. How is that possible? The Father of many nations. How is that possible? In fact, you're going to have as many descendants as the grain in the sandshore, as many as the stars in the heavens. And I'm sure he would get out at night and look at the stars and the heavens at the desert, where it would be so clear, and the natural light wouldn't distract. He would see every star. How is that possible? I wonder what God wants you to speak out. I wonder what God wants you to say. Oh, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's just put on that last slide and just see the last seven, the 7 points all. And Father, we thank you for our imagination. I'd like you to stand if you've been challenged by this at all. I just like you to stand these last few moments. Holy Spirit, just before we have morning tea, you've been challenged in this. Father, we just thank you. We need the community of faith to keep our imaginations alive. I need my brothers and sisters. Many of you are friends here in this building. That's why it's just so good to be together. I ring Paul Bennett in Dunedin, and he encourages me, and I try to encourage him, and we muse together, and we say, come on, we can do it. We might not say those words, but we get off the phone and we think, yeah, we can do it. Come on, let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing the stuff. Amen. Let's keep doing the stuff, because we're swimming against the culture around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, our God. Father, we thank you. We just receive that right now. We receive your word to us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, our God. Don talked about we sometimes have plans, and we have things that we just know we're going to do, and it's all mapped out toward us. Maybe God's stepping in right now and just changing that a little bit. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. Holy Spirit, have your way among us. Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Allow the Holy Spirit just to breathe right now. The kingdom of God is here. Kingdom of God is here. Allow the whisper of God to touch you. I think some of you need to start an imagination book, or a vision book, or a dream book. Call it what you will, but an imagination book. Thank you, Father. Oh, I can see people. I can nearly hear it. I can see people being called to higher and more than what you've ever experienced. I can see it. I can see people being called to speak. I can see people being called to reach out. I can see people being called to step out in faith. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. Have your way. Come on, let's just dig into God for a moment. Allow it to settle in our spirit. Allow it to settle in our hearts. What's your apple box? Thank you, our God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Receive the dreams God has for you. Imagine a future without limitation or restriction. I wonder what that would look like. Some of you need to journal that. Some of you need to just write it down. We commit to something, you know, when we write something down, it's in blue and white. It's just right there. It's all black and white. Whatever pen you use, you can just write it in there, and it sort of starts the journey. And some things will drop off, but some things will stay. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart. Allow God. What was impossible in the past is now possible. Let go of lesser ambitions.